Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, everybody. I am so glad you tuned in to my show today. My message, hope that it's good weather where you're at. We've had some awfully hot weather here in the Puget Sound, especially yesterday, but today we got a little bit of overcast, and so it's a little nicer, but it was still pretty warm and muggy. So I just hope you're doing well today and that God is touching your life and giving you just fresh vision and strength and all of the wonderful things that God has to give you. I want to start with an old joke. It's probably not the funniest joke in the world, but it portrays a point, and so that's what I want to share with you. It's about an inebriated individual, that's a drunk person, who is out in the street one night, and he's under a lamppost on his hands and his knees, and he's looking for something. And someone sees him, and they want to help him, so they go over to them, and they say, you know, what are you looking for? And he replies, well, I'm looking for my wallet. And the person says, well, okay. So he says, let me help you. So he starts looking, you know, for the fella's wallet, and they're both down on their hands and knees on the ground. And after a while, he realizes that they're not finding this wallet. So he says to the drunk man, he says, you know, where exactly did you lose your wallet? And the drunk man says, well, about a half a block down the street. And the other man says, well, why are you looking for your wallet here? And the drunk man says, well, you know, because the light is so much brighter here. And, you know, the thing is that when you're looking for something, you want to be looking in the right place. You know, you don't want to be in the place where it seems like the right place to look, but, you know, it really isn't there. Many people in our world are looking for direction in their lives, but they're not finding it because they're looking in all the wrong places. And the question is, where do people go for guidance today outside of God and Jesus? Well, a lot of people go to the bar and they sit and talk to the bartender. A lot of people go to the occult. They go to tarot readings and psychics and all of that. Some go to psychiatrists and psychoanalysts. A lot of people go to Eastern religions. They go to Buddhism and Hinduism and Taoism and Confucianism and Hinduism and all of that. Some people are going to Islam. People go to Scientology. Some just look inside of themselves, you know, and you know, what does that actually mean? Look inside of yourself. You know, the Rolling Stones said, I look inside myself and I see my heart is black, you know, which is a good thing to find out, I suppose. But if you know what to do with it, that's the important thing. Some people look for direction in the accumulation of knowledge and education and higher learning. I happen to think that the best place to start is 1 Corinthians 13:12, where Paul says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, is talking about God and Jesus when we're translated to heaven, in whichever iteration that happens, through death or through the Lord's coming. But for now, it's like looking through smoked glass that's really smoked. You know, someday we're going to see everything as it should be, but for now, it's like looking through glass that's been darkened. You can see images and movement to some degree on the other side, but you really can't make it out clearly, okay? Now, that's in contrast to the world. The world cannot understand God. It can't comprehend Jesus. It sees nothing. It just sees darkness. But it's important to understand that when believers look into eternity, we can at least see through the glass somewhat. Someday it's going to be face to face, Paul says. But right now, it's we can kind of make it out because we have the Holy Spirit, you know. And it's important to point out that Paul is talking to, you know, believers, once again, Christians. The world outside of salvation is darkness, and it's blindness and confusion in so many ways. But for us, we can see some things, not everything, but some things. So the Bible does say that we can have understanding in this world if we're believers. Once again, it's like those through, you know, looking through some really heavily smoked glass, but it's better than what the world sees, those who are outside of Jesus. They can't see it all. So that's a good place to start. We can't see heaven in all of its fullness, even though it's been described to us by individuals like John, who wrote the book of Revelation, who says that he was caught up to the third heaven. But it's important to understand that the Jewish people of whom John was a part of had an understanding of three heavens. The first heaven was the sky above us, where the birds fly. Second heaven was the place of the stars and the heavenly bodies. And the third heaven was heaven itself, the place where God and the angels dwell. So he was caught up to that third heaven. He was caught away. He was in prayer one day, and boom, he started seeing things as they were in heaven. He saw indescribable things, as he says in that book, Revelation. He saw things as much as he was able to understand them. And even in his descriptions, he had to use earthly symbols to describe it. But even then, I think that what he described was a bit of a poor likeness to what it really is. But nonetheless, we can experience guidance on this earth. We can experience understanding, even though it may not be as full as it will when we actually go to be with the Lord. But the question today is, how do we go about experiencing guidance? Well, the obvious place to start is my first point, which is by accepting Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the light of man. And that name for Jesus, the light of man, it's found in John 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Who's the Word? The Word is Jesus. "And the Word was God," part of the Trinity. "He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that light was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Or in another translation, it says, "The darkness comprehended it not." So Jesus is the place to start. He is the light of the world. And light has everything to do with guidance and direction. And if someone is looking for direction in life, but they don't have Jesus, I don't think they can really get to where they should be or want to be. If you want to know what you were destined for, you will never find it without Jesus in your life. Now, hopefully you're listening to this because you know Jesus already. But if you just wandered onto this podcast and you don't know Jesus and you're looking for direction, the best thing you can do for yourself is to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And toward the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept him if you don't know him already. But that's really the place to start. And if you do know Jesus, you've already won a big part of the battle for direction and understanding. Jesus said it best. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that use of the word "I am" is Yahweh in the Hebrew. That's Jesus' original language. And Yahweh is more of a correct pronunciation of the word Jehovah, who is God. We say Jehovah, but really it's spelled more like Yahweh in the Hebrew. And that's the same word that Jesus used when the soldiers came to arrest him. to take him to the cross. They said they wanted Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am. He said, Yahweh. And the soldiers all fell back. And that word was considered to be so holy that only the high priest could utter it 10 times a year on Yom Kippur, which was the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was said in such a way that the people couldn't hear it because they didn't want it to become a common word. It was said in a whisper, like breathing out and breathing in. It sound, or actually breathing in and breathing out. It sounded like this. It sounded like, Yahweh, Yahweh. Breath in and breath out. When Moses was commanded by God to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, Moses said, whom shall I say called me? Whom shall I say sent me? And he heard, Yahweh. It's powerful. Yahweh. It's a powerful name. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So the best place to begin to look for direction for your life is with Jesus, the light of the world. Secondly, get familiar with the Word. The Word is the Bible. Its truths are unminable because they are so deep. You can dig and you can dig and you can dig in the Word, but you will never be able to mine all the truths of Scripture because they speak of eternity. But to not begin to dig is to say, I won't dig in a diamond mine because I won't find all of the diamonds. You can find some of the diamonds and you can find many of the diamonds. But some people say, well, you know, I won't even start digging, you know, because I can't mine all the truth. It's best not to worry about finding all of the diamonds as long as you're finding diamonds. One of the most respected and intelligent theologians of all time, this is attributed to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was asked once, and I got to say, I don't agree with Bonhoeffer completely, but he was a brilliant man, he's a brilliant theologian. He mined a lot of truth out of Scripture. And this is what he said. They asked once, in all of your studies, in all of your knowledge, what is the greatest theological truth that you have ever discovered? And without blinking, he replied, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. You could work on that for eons. In fact, if you know Jesus, you're going to get eternity to deal with that one. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you could meditate on that one, that one thought for a very long time and still find greater truth in that simple child Sunday school hymn. One of the greatest theologians of all time said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Incredible truth in that simple song. So if you want to find guidance for your life, get to know the Word. It's amazing to think about what this Bible has to offer. In fact, if it's any type of incentive for you to start to dig into this book, it's considered a dangerous book. You know, if you tell your kid not to do something, it's most likely they're going to do it. You know, so this is considered a dangerous book. It's been banned in at least 52 countries of the world. So if you want to walk on the wild side, you know, it's a dangerous book. It creates freedom and liberty, and some governments do not like that. So if you're looking for direction in your life, you need to look at Scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So the Word of God is live, it's alive, and it's active. That means it goes to work on you. You read the Word of God and it starts working around in your mind and it starts penetrating your heart and it starts dividing things. It starts cutting things out. It's like a surgical knife. It begins to work on your soul and your spirit in such a way that you begin to start confessing sin. You begin to start confessing truth. You just begin to start allowing it to direct your lives in ways that you cannot imagine. So number two, find direction for your life in the Word of God. That's what it's all about, is to be able to tell which way you're supposed to go. Okay, that's number two. Number three, we find direction in our life through prayer. And this is such a hard thing because I think most individuals believe in prayer. They talk about prayer. They think about prayer. They discuss prayer. They like the idea of prayer. But do we do it? I mean, we even pray on the fly sometimes, like in the car or at work, if we're facing something difficult or during a crisis situation. But do we practice preemptive prayer? And what I mean by preemptive prayer is daily, regular prayer. Do we start our days with prayer? Jesus started his day with prayer. He would go off alone by himself while the disciples were still sleeping and pray. He started his public ministry with 40 days of fasting and prayer in the wilderness. And my question is, if Jesus, the Son of God, who knew no sin, needed focused times of prayer like that, how much more do we? I have to confess, I do not pray as much as I should, and I do have a regular prayer life, but I believe that I can go deeper. And this isn't intended for condemnation, but I believe that most of us can go deeper. I believe that so many distractions that happen during the day won't if we spend more quality time in prayer. And that doesn't mean that those distractions will disappear completely. It just means that many of them will disappear. And a lot of them will be able to be handled, or we'll get the perspective on what to do and how to handle them when they do crop up. Sometimes I think that believers get stuck on the verse that says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." So we go about doing, but we forget to be hearers as well. And I'm not talking only about hearing the word through reading it, but also through that still small voice in our spirits through prayer. You see, after Elijah in the Old Testament, Book of Kings, 1 Kings, had his great victory against the prophets of Baal, or Baal as some would pronounce it, in 1 Kings 18, Queen Jezebel said she wanted his head, and that scared Elijah out of his wits. So he ran off into the desert, and he hid in a cave, and he complained to God. Now this man had just had a contest in front of all the prophets of Baal, and they put out a sacrifice, and they waited for their god to consume it with fire, and it never happened. But Ezekiel put out a sacrifice to God and watered it down, put buckets and buckets of water on the sacrifice. And then he stood back and prayed, and fire came out of heaven and burned up the offering. So he had a great victory. But in 1 Kings 18, Queen Jezebel said she wanted his head. And that scared Elijah out of his wits. So he ran off into the desert and he hid in a cave. And he complained to God. And God let him see three visions in 1 Kings 19. One of an earthquake. One of wind. One of fire. But the Bible says the Lord wasn't in any of them. But the fourth one, God was in. It was a still, small voice. And the still small voice gave Ezekiel what he needed to know in order to go back and defeat the king, King Ahab, Jezebel's husband, that had brought so much anguish upon the kingdom of Israel through turning from God and to worshiping Baal. And it's amazing that God in the Old Testament revealed, to a dynamic prophet that he could be heard in a still, small voice. I used to read my children a book called Sleepy Bunny. It was just a silly little children's book. And it was about a bunny that was about to go to sleep, but a bee flew in its mouth and it went to sleep there. And it was keeping the bunny from being able to go to sleep itself. And so the bunny consulted with a gopher regarding how to make the bee wake up so it would fly out of its mouth and it could go to sleep. And the gopher told it how. It said, by making very small sounds that only a small bee would be able to hear. Because bees tend to tune out large sounds. And they can only hear little sounds, like only a bee could hear. So the bunny started making little tiny sounds like a bee swallowing honey from an apple blossom. And the bee woke up and flew away. You see, God knows that we are small in comparison to Him. And many times He speaks in tones that are more on a level with how small we are in comparison to Him, rather than big, gargantuan noises, which is how we would like things spelled out for us. But God wants an intimate relationship with us. So He wants us to develop a relationship with Him where He doesn't have to shout. That's why Jesus was constantly saying, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, He was saying, not everyone is going to get this, but the person who has developed a relationship with Me that allows them to hear, let them hear. And I'm going to contrast that by a scene from the movie Bruce Almighty, which starred Jim Carrey. I'm sure many of you saw it. Bruce is driving along, and he's asking God to talk to him. And he asks God for a sign. And as he's driving, there's a sign by the side of the road that says, caution ahead. But he keeps on driving and asking for a sign. And a truck pulls out in front of him carrying a whole mess of traffic signs in the bed of the truck. And they say things like yield and stop and, do not enter. And he just gets mad at the truck and he pulls around it. And then he hits a big pothole and wraps his car around a lamppost. And the problem is, sometimes, even when God is speaking to us in a very loud voice, we miss the message completely because we don't have ears to hear what He's saying. Jesus told Peter just prior to His crucifixion that Peter was going to deny Him 3 times. Peter said, no, not me, Lord. He just couldn't hear it. Now that was more like a prophecy than a warning, but do you see how easily we can miss Jesus' voice in our lives, even when it's spelled out? That's why that daily quiet time is so important. Not just the quiet time that asks God to do a lot of things for us, the quiet time that develops the ability to sort out all the voices in our lives and to hear what God is saying to us. That's what is important, okay? And I wish I had a formula to help you with in order to do that. But it's formed by a relationship rather than some guru trying to explain it. You just have to practice it. And you have to practice it until you can sort out all the voices and hear the important one, which is the voice of the Lord. And He will speak to you, but you have to quiet yourself in order to hear it. Ezekiel had to go hide away in a cave in order to sort out God's voice when he got into trouble. And sometimes we need to do that too, not in a cave, but somewhere where we know we'll be alone because we become too busy for our own good. Sometimes we need to get a gallon of orange juice and just go up into the hills and spend several hours fasting, drinking some orange juice or some berry juice or something like that, and just being alone with God. Take a few hours. Get away from everything, you know. Yoga practitioners practice meditation, and medical science tells that it actually does some good. But I don't believe the benefits are spiritual. I believe the benefits are physical. Just because stopping and allowing stress to flow out of our systems, that's good for us. But how much better for Christians who are in contact with the God of the universe, who is able to speak to us inside of our souls? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. It's talking a future promise to Israel that I believe applies to modern-day Christians. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That was manifested in the early apostles over and over. I shared just a little while ago on this. It's in the book of Acts chapter 16. And it's the apostle Paul. And it says this, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Okay, they were tuned into the Spirit. They said, okay, we're supposed to go through Asia, but we're not supposed to preach the word there. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they're tuned in again. They're listening. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Isaiah 30, 21. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And I have to say that most of us are not the Apostle Paul, but I believe that there's a direction from the Holy Spirit for those who listen to him on a daily basis. And it gets more acute as we listen to the Lord on that daily basis. You see, the voice of the world is very clear. Satan's voice is often very clear. The voice of temptation is very clear. It's loud. It rings in our ears. We need to practice tuning those voices out and tuning in the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he will help us with our lives. He will help us make wise decisions. And it's not really anything that comes easily. It's just something that comes from being before him and being with him. There's an awesome passage in Acts chapter 4 where the apostles, Peter and John, we're teaching the people. The priests, that's what it says, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is just shortly after Jesus died and ascended to heaven. And they're out in public, preaching. And the priests and the captain of the temple guard, the guards, they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Now, you got to understand, in those days, they only counted the men because, unfortunately, in Hebrew society, the men were the important ones, you know. So, and usually if a man, you know, accepted a different religion, then the wife and the children went right along with him. So when we're talking about 5,000 men, we're talking upwards of over 10,000 people who were added to the church that very day. Okay, so they're out there preaching, and like 10 or 13,000 people come to know Jesus. And the next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law, man, they're really upset because they're watching people walk right out of Judaism, right into Christianity. And they met in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas and John and Alexander and others of the high priest's family. And they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, get this, and realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Do you see what being with Jesus will do for you? I mean, yes, to some degree, this means that Peter and John had been with Jesus for 3 years in his earthly ministry. But I think that can apply to us as well. I mean, they had been with Jesus after the resurrection as well. And that can apply to us. Just that being with Jesus on a daily basis can give us a quality that's recognizable by the world. We need to be with Jesus regularly in order to find direction in our lives, to be able to discern his voice above all the other voices that we hear in this world. And there are many. And it takes time mapped out to be with him. But it's worth it in the end. So, in order to have direction, we need to, one, accept Jesus, the light of man. Secondly, we need to get familiar with the Word. And these are nothing that you don't know, but we need to be admonished to do things like this on a regular basis. And then finally, number three, we need to spend time in prayer and meditation before the Lord. I know these things are very basic, but we always want to fast-track things. We always want to look for something deeper, something that's new. And truthfully, God says the old ways are the best, the ways that we all know. But do we do them? See, that's why we get frustrated and look for other ways to gain direction in our lives. We need to do the basic and the simple things and do them with discipline. You see, that's where we break down. We get frustrated. We aren't always as disciplined as we need to be. And so we have to listen to a message like this one to remind us that the basic things are necessary in order to find direction for our souls and our lives. That's why we're called disciples. We're people under discipline to Jesus. So maybe you're out there and you just need to renew your commitment to these disciplines in your life. I'd like to pray with you. So let's bow our hearts right now and let the Holy Spirit come and minister to our hearts as we pray. Father, we all need to be reminded to do the things that make us who you want us to be in the kingdom of God. We thank you that you care enough to remind us, come and touch our hearts today in such a way that we will renew our commitment to seeking you on a regular basis, that we will remember our covenant with you to serve as we have received you, for those of us who are believers, that we will read your word regularly and listen for your direction in these words, and also to seek you on a daily basis. We thank you that you love us enough to remind us to do these things so that we can come closer to you and find the direction that we need in our lives. Amen. And for those of you who may be listening and don't know Jesus but would like to, I'd just like you to pray this prayer after me, remembering that a prayer doesn't save you. It's your faith, your belief in Jesus, and what he has done for you on the cross and through his resurrection that saves you. So if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart right now, you can do that. Just pray after me and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead after he was crucified for your sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to save my soul. I've walked in fallenness in my life, and I know that I've failed to live up to the standard that you have for me. And I confess my sin to you right now, and I ask that you will give me new life through Jesus. I believe in Jesus, his death and resurrection, and I accept him as my Savior right now. I will seek to follow him all the days of my life and forever and ever. Thank you for saving my soul. Amen. As I always say, if you prayed that prayer, if you accepted Jesus for the very first time tonight, please find a good Bible-believing church, not a cult. Look for one that believes in Jesus as the third person of the Trinity. He's part of the Godhead, the Father, the Spirit, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three in one. The self-existent God from the beginning of eternity. Jesus was not created. Jesus has always been God. He's always been a part of the Godhead. Look for a church that believes those things. They believe in salvation. They believe in growth in the Spirit. They believe that all 52 books of the Bible are the Word of God and inspired by the Holy Spirit, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Church that believes those kinds of things. Okay? And before I close, I just want to make mention of the fact that this ministry is a nonprofit, and it functions on donations. And so any donations given to this ministry are tax deductible. So if you are so inclined, as the Spirit is leading you and moving on your heart, I want to invite you to offer either a one-time or monthly tax deductible gift. If you give a donation, we'll send you an email at the beginning of the following month, and it'll give a rundown on all the things that I've been doing in order to further the gospel in the area that I live in, and to help in any way that I can as I run and I touch base with people. I hand them a card that says Jesus loves them, and then I pray with them or whatever they want to do after they become aware that I'm following Jesus. Okay, so I run in my community. I share the gospel with whoever is open to what I have to share. I pray with many people during the week and just share Jesus in as meaningful way as possible. In order to spread Jesus' love in this very difficult world. Many of them homeless, many of them from all walks of life. So you may go to my donate page on my website if you'd like to give a donation to the Running Pastor. It's at runningpastornw/donate. Okay, runningpastornw, N as in Nancy, W as in William, /DONATE. And just look for the blue donate button, and that's to donate to the Running Pastor Ministry. And there's also an address on that page if you prefer to send it through the mail. Also, I'm running for Alzheimer's Association if you'd like to give a gift to help the victims of Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. I would appreciate that as well. But I want to thank you so much for listening to the Running Pastor today, and I want to thank you so much for just tuning in, because I want to share Jesus so much with everybody I possibly can. And as always, I wish you a good day and good running. God bless you.